The views and opinions that are expressed on the Dope Sessions podcast are that of the hosts and do not reflect any views of any other attached entities. Now that we got that out of the way, let's go.
Everybody, man, thank y'all again for tuning in to another episode of the Late Sessions, man. Thank y'all for always not only rocking with the Late Sessions, but rocking with the Dope Sessions as well. I got my Late Sessions crew with me. D-Nick, the microphone misfit. What up, D?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, man. And also, I got my other brethren here, Harley Hustle. What up, Harley?
Yo, what's cracking, everybody?
Yo, man. Y'all ready to get into this, man?
Let's do it.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah, man. Okay, so there's so many layers of why I wanted to do this particular episode. There's this, I think what really made me want to do this episode was everybody attacking J. Cole because J. Cole decided to bow out of this battle, right? And I'm using the air quote, y'all, this battle. So, and I had never seen so much vitriol for a person who was just like, hey, man, like, who got on stage at his own festival and was just like, yo, I didn't feel right doing it. It was a lot of pressure, so I did it. And it didn't sit right with me. You know, I'm just done with it. I'm taking the song off the album, all this other stuff. And so all this, like, J. Cole is weak, all this other stuff, and, you know, blah, 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 all this other stuff. And then I kept hearing a term that I've heard plenty, and I know y'all have heard plenty of times before, is that hip-hop is a competitive sport.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That is a term that I've always heard. And even with this go-round between the quote-unquote big three, Kendrick, Cole, Drake, hip-hop is a competitive sport. So then I start to say to myself, and D-Nick, you know, because we kind of had a little conversation, and Harley, we had conversations about it too. I was just like, but that doesn't make sense, because if hip-hop is a competitive sport, then you have to have certain rules, because all sports have certain rules.
Correct.
And so one of the things that I was telling Harley was, and you know, we talked about this, Harley, like, I think about boxing. When you step in that ring and the ref brings y'all face to face, they go over the rules, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can't, they want you to have a clean fight, they want you to listen to them at all times, that they, you know, there is step-by-step rules, and every sport has a step-by-step rules to follow. So if I am a boxer and I hit somebody below the belt, that's a point taken away from me. Right, because I broke the rules. The issue that I have is that because hip hop, quote unquote, is a is a sport, it's just like, no, because you don't have rules. And when you do have rules, you tend to push the goalposts on your rules. So you're just making it up as you go. So my question to you guys, and I want to start with D-Nick, because D-Nick, you used to battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so you said something that was very interesting to me in our conversation. I just want to have you expand on it more, because when you battle, right?
Yeah.
And you, for you, because I remember you saying, when you battle somebody you knew, it was easier for you to battle someone you knew more than somebody you didn't know.
No, for me, it was always easier when I was having fun. Like, it wasn't, I didn't have to know them. Most of the time, I didn't know them. You know, I was new to Chicago, so I didn't know people that I was battling in the Source or like Unsigned Hype or Cherry Red. It was, for me, it was just like I would lose, you know, like if I wasn't having fun. You know, if that's your if that's related to your question.
Yeah, and I'm sorry because I kind of got that mix. I thought it was just if you battle somebody. I guess at the time, if you know, like you had mentioned a couple of names or people that you knew, so when you battled them, it was fun, but it's like because the person that you don't know is in front of you, it's like maybe it comes off a little differently. Am I getting that correct?
No, I if I was having fun with a stranger, or then I was slicing their head off. It could be a bum. Like my kryptonite was having, like I if I didn't have fun, that was when I would hold the L, and it kind of taught me about the spirit and mentality of a battle rapper to be a really elite one, because if the for me, I'm not a hater. I don't want to say like I'm not a hater, and to be a battle rapper fundamentally. Like, you're literally tearing another person down.
Yeah.
So part of you, in my point of view, I look at it like, oh, you're a hater, you know, and you gotta, like, that's why them dudes, and chicks, for that matter, like, don't usually make great songs because they don't care about people having a good time, and they don't care about alluring the energy of whatever they're doing, whether it's a jokey record or a club record or whatever. They don't make the best choruses. They just bar out and destroy people, you know? And I was like, I would win as long as I was having fun. And if I lose, that was because I wasn't having fun. I used to tear people up at Cherry Red.
Can I interject something, though?
Go ahead.
They dumbed the battle down, though, bro. Because, you know, I come from battle school, too. And it used to be a point where all that just going at each other head shit, that shit was garbage, man. Motherfuckers used to have to actually pull out, the host would pull a subject out the hat, and you two motherfuckers got to rap about the subject, and whoever rap better about that subject. And that would be a part of the battle, too. Especially when you done battle 90-something motherfuckers to get to the last 5-6 motherfuckers.
Okay. I remember doing that, I don't know if you remember the or how long they was having it, but they had the Down by Law in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, that was what they used to make us do at Down by Law. Like, we have subjects, and, like, part of it, like, how can you rock the crowd? They were like, and those type of things I used to excel in because I used to have fun with those, but those were more about showmanship.
But it's not just showmanship. It's a true battle. See, you're right about the hater thing. See, only a hater wants to try to go word for word with somebody they really don't know and argue like a woman. you get what I'm saying? You want to actually prove that you're a better act. Anybody can be a better rapper, but when you're in the industry or you putting out records, you become an act.
Right. And you know, if I can interject real quick, because I started thinking about this too. So I started thinking about the whole like back and forth that happened with Lupe Fiasco and Royce the 5'9", right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this back and forth mainly because Lupe was like, if we don't really battle, let's battle. And I forgot the name of the thing that he wanted to do the battle at. But, and I remember looking it up.
It was a league, right?
Yeah, I think it was something. I forgot the name of it. Forgive me for forgetting the name, but what Harley is saying, it seemed like that league did what you were talking about. And Royce wanted to go to URL, and URL is just niggas just talking about how they gonna dismember you, like that gun talk type battle, like hate shit, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember that just that big kind of argument. I didn't put it everything in its proper context until you both said what you said. And I was just like, because I've seen those battles that Harley was talking about, how, like, you know, you pull something, somebody gives you a subject, and you know, you're going at it about the same subject. Or, you know, there was one thing that I saw of a battle where they put on like another rapper's like song, like their instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody could rap over like Lil Wayne's Amelie or Cannon or something right. like that. And you're doing if you would put out a mixtape and you rapped over this beat, this is what you would do. And so I was that's crazy and very inventive.
That was another part of the normal battle setup. Because normally you would, you didn't have to, and it wouldn't be no bunch of Wu-Tang beats. It would be all the hot beats, and you never know what beat you might end up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you thinking you're going to get a Wu-Tang beat because that's all you like rapping over is Wu-Tang is type beats, and somebody throwing a Nelly beat, then you're going to bomb if you can't.
Right.
Get off on the Nelly beat. You know what I'm saying? And, and that really proves if you're good or not.
I remember at before Firefest was rebranded to Firefest when it was a hip hop revival. I remember you had to make it to the last round of the battle before you would go head to head tearing each other down. And whatever the DJ play, it would go from Dilla to something top 40 like the Neptunes, to like the Humpty Dance. They would just go all, and some of them would be like, some of the battles, I remember one round was like, you gotta big the other artist up more better. You gotta big this artist up better. Like, they were just really like Pastor Phil and Birdo would really go hard to make sure that you weren't like just tearing each other down, like with their activities. And so it's I was like, wow, that's dope, man. I had at the time, I hadn't seen nothing like that since Down by Law, you know. But when we was at Cherry Red, man, and then we were battling for money, whew, like it was just about hater stuff.
And that's what's funny is that's how I know it devolved and why I left the scene when it came to battling, because the money was sketchy. The money wasn't like it used to be.
Right.
And then, man, that's all it is. I got to talk about a motherfucker, basically make their ass cry. Man, that shit easy, bro. This shit trash.
Right. And yeah, so can you expand more on your quote unquote battle scene and what you did, Harley?
I came up in the battle circuit of Chicago, like the real battle circuit of Chicago in the streets, from rapping on 63rd and Halston.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm dating myself now because that's some 80s shit.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Like, uh-huh.
Man, the earned ghetto passes in Chicago, bro. You had to actually move around and battle in this motherfucker.
Right.
You didn't move around and battle in this motherfucker. All that going to the hip-hop club ass shit, that shit was like fugazi as fuck. To borrow a New York word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't really move into that sub-T battling shit until like the little bit before the Pacifics era.
Okay.
Of them running shows at the sub-T.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you had the other battles, the big all-city battles, you know, that you would win money and stuff like that. I've been in a few of those. But people like Juice, like, that's legit shit. People like Juice usually would win.
Right.
Not all the time, but sometimes. In some of them battles, I've been a top 10. Some of them, I've been a top 5.
Right.
I mean, bro, see, that's the difference where Chicago is so big. Like, people forget. This is kind of where Chicago Hip Hop Heritage Museum, well, I'll give them some credit. Chicago has its own shit that's been going on before you start having like Source battles and stuff like that here. Because you think about it, Source is a New York magazine.
Yeah.
So them throwing a battle here, what the fuck they know about Chicago?
Right.
And then the average person that actually probably would crush in the battle ain't gonna even get in.
Right.
That's another like weird thing about the battle scene that a lot of people don't discuss.
Yeah, man. I see, like, I knew people who battled, and battling was not like it wasn't really my thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was like I loved the cypher shit. That was my thing. Cause my thing is I don't hate anybody, so I'm not gonna like battle you to like, and if I did battle you, it's not gonna be on some hate shit, right? So I just love the cipher, and I remember like the one and only battle that I ever had was in high school, and I remember beating this guy, and he was so pissed that I beat him that he flipped his lunch tray. And all his food just kind of landed on my shirt, and you know it was funny. We all, you know, and me and him became friends, and then years later I found out that this nigga was drunk and monkey. So like, so it's like, but like even in that battle, it wasn't like I was saying some like hateful shit. I was really just saying a lot of like goofy, funny stuff to kind of throw him off, you know. But so when I see this battle that's happening now, it's a lot of hate being thrown at each other. And again, going back to the whole J. Cole thing, I commend him for just saying, "Yo, like I did it. It didn't sit right with me. I'm kind of just not gonna do it." So you have people who are saying like the same thing as me. Like, yo, I commend him for what he did. And there's other motherfuckers. Well, nah, he's saying he wanted the best MCs. If you want the best MCs, you gotta prove it. Do you have to prove it in a battle, or can you prove it in other ways?
That depends on your point of reference of what you define like hip hop is and as, you know. Like, because for me, I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. But I, you know, there's, and that, and when you, man, it's that so loaded. When you talk about the moving of the goalposts, it's like I look at it like you. They say like, there's no ghost riders, or there's no, you're not a real one if you get help with your pen.
Yeah.
But then they change the rules, whoever, then it's like, it's different when it's like the message, because that was written by a Jamaican producer named Duke Booty. That wasn't written by, you know, it's four verses on that and like three or four choruses on that. And Melly Melon wrote one of the four verses. Everything was Duke Booty. He's even on the song. So is it ghostwriting then? Because he don't really get his credit. You know what I'm saying? Is it still the greatest hip-hop song? Like, arguably? You know, so it everything is always defined by people's point of reference.
But the point of reference that we're talking about, this is what the argument is in that big dumbass underground hip-hop group. The motherfucking insult dumbass motherfuckers who talking, and I know they listen to this show, some of them, your motherfucking opinion doesn't matter. And this is what I be trying to tell my hip-hop brethren. Stop listening to these simple motherfuckers.
They so loud though, Harley. They so loud.
Man, bro, but they didn't matter then and they don't matter now. And they try to act like they matter and they was like moving and grooving and doing shit. And it's like, motherfucker, you wasn't. Get your goof ass out of here with that bullshit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The only reason why you want to see a battle is because your hater ass don't like motherfuckers and you want to see people crash and burn.
So I had this conversation.
Wait, hold on. I want to say, hold that thought. Okay. Because I agree with you. The problem with that, though, Harley, is I've been in many of spaces with Davey DMX, who is, I don't consider this, but for all intents and purposes, he's a respected, like,
respected inside the inner circle.
But here's the thing, he's propped up as one of the historians and elders.
Man,
and
you know I fuck with Davey D. Okay. But at the same time, I'm an old nigga too. So fuck all the old niggas and they narratives. You understand what I'm saying?
I know, I get you. But when
I'm cool with that. It's like,
no, what I'm right. saying, what I'm saying is, right.
Hold on, y'all. I want to hear what you guys say, Harley. Dina, go ahead and finish.
I hear what you're saying. I actually agree with that. But when there's the peons like echoing, there's validation for them in that.
Man, but they're not really validation because the peons don't run shit either.
But they're echoing the dude that's the killer, though.
None of these motherfuckers own the media, though, bro.
No.
So all that shit they talking is trash then. Because if you saying something, you don't own the media that you're talking about, like for real, own stake in it and really put your blood, sweat, and tears in it, not just your mouth. Mm-hmm. What you saying is some fuck shit.
And you know what? What you both of you guys like? I'm definitely agreeing with what everybody is saying. The problem to me is also like you said, the peons they ain't own no media. They don't. But for some reason, what they say, how they feel,
no, it don't. If 10,000 motherfuckers watching that shit, it don't mean nothing. Man, we gotta start talking real numbers. I be knowing the numbers of these cats, wildcats, and the people that be talking this kind of stuff. They don't be having no real numbers. The only people that really kind of have numbers in this space that might get off into this would be the barbershop dude. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Even Doggy Diamonds and M-Rec don't have numbers like that. And them dudes.
Yeah.
Right.
But they don't have numbers where it's like affecting the general culture.
Right.
Well, so their opinions stay within a certain demographic of people. It's like the red pill. Everybody don't know what red pill is, and they basically in that same category.
Right.
Man, I hear that. I also I don't even know if it's a counter. I would say that by them being a loud, I would argue irrelevant minority, but they're allowed. Really, really loud minority. There are some that, because it suits them to co-sign that what their narrative is. Like,
man, if their narrative was really what it really is, bro, we wouldn't have this other. And not knocking anything you brothers saying at all, because you know how we all get down. Yeah. So on some real shit,
right?
Man, most of them they ain't hired in Tariq Nasheed. Tariq Nasheed affecting the culture more than they are, so let's keep it 100.
Yeah. Right.
So we gonna talk about being able to talk. Nah, bro. Most of them ain't even Tariq Nasheed level, no matter how they try to play it. Most of them ain't even done documentaries for the culture, bro.
Right. So I and you guys let me know if I'm wrong in this, but kind of, going back to the whole like you said, like peons and stuff that don't know anything. I think a lot of times,
lack of a better term.
Yeah. A lot, so I, to me, what I was gonna say was it feels like when we, you know, when we were talking about the, me and Harley, you remember when we were talking about the blog era, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people like say like me, I guess, because I was involved in that whole blog era stuff. I was in those rooms and trying to do all that stuff, and so if I feel like, and in some weird way, like, oh, I was early on Wiz Khalifa. So if Wiz Khalifa, you know, I feel like that sometimes people feel like they have ownership, and because they have ownership of a certain artist, like I feel like some of these artists are not only listening to what their fans want, but also the other peons in their fucking corner that's with them. So it's like,
I agree.
So there seems to be, and I agree with you, Harley. None of these niggas got numbers, all this other stuff, but they're listening to the niggas that don't have the numbers, right? Am I wrong in that?
Man, no. Not really. Because if they really would, their numbers would go up.
Let's talk
about the ego and vanity amongst the people that try to act like, that's why I say most of them are part of the red pill crowd. Because they really are. A lot of them talk red pill agenda and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and we know that the red pill crowd really ain't that big online. And it's splintered at that.
Yeah.
So, we got all these different ideologies under red pill. And in hip-hop, man, if these dudes really was, like, really on their game, we wouldn't be having that other conversation that we're not finna bring up right now. But everybody should know what I'm talking about. Who started what?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if they was really the contingent that was running stuff, we wouldn't be having that conversation, would we?
I agree with that.
I don't know, man. It's too many people. Like, cause I agree with him. I agree with you, Harley, about the numbers. And then I'll see someone with small numbers, and then there'll be something like a Hot 97 that'll totally echo with the small, like,
but Hot 97, in the grand scheme of things, only represents a small segment of people, too.
But they're a big media platform, and then other, like, other sister stations will copy them, and it's a lot of copying.
Man, but y'all act like, but this is
small and big. Small and big.
Check it out. This is the
right.
This is the issue. See, I understand as an older person, I ain't out the loop. Most old people out the loop. Even having a conversation about Hot 97 is out the loop.
Why'd you use them as an example of
listen to what I'm saying? You're correct in what you're talking about. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not knocking what you're saying, but I'm saying that's out of the loop. For the general young people who really run in the media, that ain't it, bro.
Well, but here's the thing, though, Harley.
You mentioned the
hip hop museum.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them dudes, and they got a museum in Chicago. A lot of them dudes was like, you know, talking down, saying that ain't real hip hop. Ain't battling. Why you buying one out? And da da da. Like they just totally went the other. That's what I mean by
I said a contingent, right? But that contingent don't matter. They matter to them, but they don't matter in the grand scheme of things because they don't control the things that makes them matter.
So let me ask this real quick, because I'm trying to, like, you guys are just, you know, you're opening my eyes to a lot of things. So it, because, like, I get what you're saying, Harley. Like you said, the Hot 97s and maybe like the Breakfast Clubs and all that stuff may not affect the game like they used to.
Man,
but a lot of them, but a lot of them are taking pieces and pieces of what the new generation of hip hop media are doing to stay kind of relevant.
Hot 97 is a hodgepodge of what's hot in the black community. It ain't hip hop. We get it confused because they present it to us. When we had that conversation, New York presents everything to us as being up under the hip hop space.
Yeah. Right.
Hot 97 ain't hip hop. What hip hop people, when the last time some real hip hop people worked at Hot 97? Like for real, running stuff and like making. And when has the program director at Hot 97 ever been like a real hip hop person?
Since he told the consumers he was.
you feel what I'm saying? And I'm not tripping on that. But then we're going to talk about the young people.
Mm-hmm.
High 97 hasn't affected young culture since, man.
No.
Probably since the 2000s.
Maybe at the top of Wiz Khalifa's career. Right. Maybe. Like, we're stretching it even then.
I don't even know. I don't even know if that's the case. I think like when we were talking about the blog era, I think because the people made Wiz Khalifa and Mac Miller and all these guys who they were, it was like they had to follow.
They didn't have a choice because
they didn't have to follow. But like, yeah, they didn't have a choice because now it's like you said when we were talking about it on the episode that we did. It was just like you didn't have a choice because we wasn't listening to you anymore.
Right.
So now you want us back.
You want the listeners back.
So now you're inviting all these people that we are championing now. You know what I'm saying? The labels ain't coming up. Hey man, you know, check this dude, Wiz Khalifa. Check out Mac Miller. Check out Ninth Wonder and Lil Brother.
But we're
saying all of that shit.
Yeah,
man.
But the guys at the top. I mean, the country club. So continue.
No. Go ahead.
The guys at the top have always canceled what, and I'm not calling us and people like the small, but the way they define it, because they get to write the narrative, they always copied the little ones. They always copy who was under, and you know, and they always, and it was always weird, and it's always strange, and all that. They will always do that.
But that was the second tier mainstream media, because hip hop normal media. See, when we talk about the normal media, that's Murder Dog. You get what I'm saying? Like, it was media that covered hip hop across the board.
Right.
We didn't get a lot of that until the blog era. And now, because the internet, because of TikTok, see, things are going different now. Because of TikTok and shorts, you got people getting up and getting on that. Like, is not discussed, bro, like, amongst any of us older people or even older media that we still paying attention to. Because, like, man, if you 16, 17 years old paying attention to the Breakfast Club, you lame. Man, that's like being young listening to on some Chicago. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but, man, that's like being young and you listening to Doug Banks and them, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying? That's real, yeah.
Like, we was waiting for Ramon.
Doug Banks or Tom Joyner or some shit.
We was waiting for who was on the mix show.
Yeah.
Ramonski Love, you know, Pink House and them. Mm-hmm. Like,
Mike Love and
night dudes. We wasn't on the early morning dudes.
Right.
Come on,
and the only time you really heard them is if you was with your parents.
Right. Like, so it's like, do you really think the Breakfast Club is writing the rules? Stop it. You feel what I'm saying? This is the things that right. we get caught up in as older adults that we forget how it was to be 16, 17. I ain't forget that. Like, I actually understand, like, nah, the stuff we be thinking is cool or we think putting us on, it's like, man, that's a parody of what's really going on.
Right.
That's why we be late to the party. Yeah, we look up and we be like, man, this person is an industry plant. Okay. Because you didn't see they grind. Man, you got a job you going to every day, bro. Stop it. You listening to Late Sessions to find out what's really going on in the real world.
Right.
Factually.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're doing. We're breaking this down for everybody who's going back and forth to work and listening to the Breakfast Club, because this is the Late Session.
Right.
Which is a part of Dope Session, which is just let y'all understand, like, where we at with.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kelvin and Tree.
Right.
Right. Man.
But back to the battle. But back to the battle thing.
No, you know, I want to say something real quick. Like you said, like I agree with both of you guys. I think the only reason why I think, like, you know, just for our audience, like D-Nick bringing up like the Breakfast Club and Hot 97 is because they're trying to latch on a little bit, not a whole lot, but they're trying to latch on to what the new young hip hop media is doing. Like some of them don't like it, but they attaching it themselves to it a little bit, because they'll talk shit all day about academics,
right?
But they're going to talk and have these debates and have these issues brought up and talk about the way academics is talking about it. So it's like this. So kind of
Charlamagne has always been messy.
He was
a DJ academics. He was part of that same style of messy journalism.
And he's trying to rebrand to be mental health and wellness and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Right, because he still got some trash, you know, to him a little bit. But yeah. You're right, Dina. He has rebranded wholeheartedly, but the little shot. Charlamagne thing kind of comes up. It'll creep up sometimes, but like, and the only reason why I know that is because when it does, it's all over the internet.
Yeah.
So whenever and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, the like you said, the kids ain't listening to High 97. They ain't listening to Breakfast Club.
They're listening to YouTube and TikTok. Yeah.
Right. So if something happens in the way that, you know, like when Charlamagne may say this or whatever, if it's something that, you know, if it's plastered all over the internet, yeah, they're going to see it because it's, you know, and that's their only viewpoint of it, because they'll then just have like, yeah, man, like Charlamagne bugging or Charlamagne right or this person, you know what I'm saying? They'll maybe agree or disagree, but it also just kind of brings in more of the, I guess, the debate of everything.
I throw them fully under the bus. They ain't TMZ.
Yeah. Right. But Harley, you want, so yeah, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but yeah, I know you want to say some stuff about the battle. Let's go back to that, but go ahead, Harley.
I mean, man, with the whole battle thing, with J. Cole, it is surprising that everybody is like, man, like, why he don't want to battle no more? And it's like, man, they really ain't got beef for real. Mm-hmm. That's really what it comes down to. Like, man, I'm manufacturing beef. And should hip-hop really be the WWF?
Right.
This has always been the question.
It's totally always been the question, because a lot of people feel like it should be, and and a lot of people kind of contradict it, and like they feel like it should be, but they just don't want it to be phony. But
but it seemed like unfortunately they'll take they'll take the manufactured beef, especially in this space, like right now, especially what's going on right now. It's like to hear what some like what academics are saying about J. Cole to Joe Budden and to every other person that has said anything about, like, now instead of just making it about a battle, you are disrespected. Like, you're basically calling this man a bitch without calling him a bitch.
Man. Now you understand the new media. Finish. I'm sorry, D-Nick.
No. I was going to add on that. And, like, and Harley, you could probably speak to this, too. I think you know very well what I'm going with this. There's a reason that, like, it's not really cool. Like, you don't really see people. Like, there's never been a battle on wax that wasn't mocked. That if it was real, like a real competition, that's not just rapper versus rapper.
Right.
That's company versus company. And that affects people's money. Because now, like, to what Kelvin, what you were saying about, like, is it a sport? It's not a sport. But it is competitive. But that's not art. That's beyond art. That's companies. McDonald's competes with Burger King,
right? You know,
or they'll buy Subway so that, like, they don't gotta compete with Subway Eat Fresh.
Let's break it down in the new age lingo. That's brand on brand competition.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because people lose money. Look at Shan's career versus Karis One's career. They lost money.
I mean, look at the whole Juice Crew in comparison. Look at BDP and Juice Crew.
Right.
Speaking of that, can I bring this up, D-Nick? Because me and you had a conversation about Shan and Karis One. Uh-huh. And so, because I told D-Nick, I said, I remember Karis One saying, if Shan never responded to him, he probably would not have the career that he has.
Yeah, that's kind of true. But KRS-One is the ultimate hater, though.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we talked about, too. which is, we talked about that point, too, because we also brought up the fact, like, you know, KRS-One was a high school dropout and homeless. So
you're the ultimate hater.
Hater, and you feel like you ain't got nothing to lose.
I mean, I'm not mad at it, bro.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because in many circles, he's considered the ultimate MC.
Exactly.
And teacher. But it's like, okay, if you're gonna throw all that in there, you must admit that it came off haterish. And he basically drove a man to smoking crack. He basically Nino Brown, MC Shan.
Right.
Like, whatever happened to Sparky D? We don't, like, she was
right.
She was reduced to going on tour and losing, like, every night to Roxanne Shante.
And then, like, people forget her whole, like, space in hip hop.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Roxanne Shante is this, but Sparky D is this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then we also, in that conversation, we brought up the whole, like, 50 Cent and Ja Rule stuff, right? And a lot of that, like, a lot of the street stuff, which was a part of the story, kind of came up within the battle, The one thing that I said about to D-Nick was, I truly believe the reason why 50 Cent won that battle is because we stopped liking Ja Rule. And we were looking for it. Like, we put this man basically on a pedestal. And then it was just like, when 50 Cent came, it was like, yo, good. We threw with this nigga. And we hated that nigga. And we found somebody who was just vicious enough to hate this nigga even more.
he was emboldened because he was not extorted by New York City drug dealers. he was like, you know, so he was.
I mean, but
what they always say, they were the New York dudes that play for the Lakers. Like,
yeah, but see, man, you gotta understand, like, to say he wasn't extorted, like them niggas wasn't extorted either. So that whole situation with Ja really was a Ja stopped making the music that his core fan base was listening to. His core fan base was not dudes.
No.
His core fan base was women. Yeah. And when he started going to 50 all the time with that blood in my eye and the whole album just rapping about 50, no singing with Ashanti or no, you know.
Or Lil Mo.
Right. Yeah. And then you got no Mary J. And then you got 50 over here, candy shopping up and got Olivia on the team and you know what I'm saying? So not only did I throw you off your game, but then I'm gonna pivot and get these lonely heifers that you left over here. What they wanted to hear. And I got muscles and I'm brown.
Hey, yeah, and he got powerhouse. He got Jimmy Iovine, you know.
I mean, don't get it messed up. And then it was also the situation that was starting to go on behind the scenes with the FBI and the feds, you know, with Marin.
Because they thought that was drug dealers. Well, they thought they were being funded by drug dealers and all of that.
I mean, bro, like, but they didn't. That's. I mean, we're talking about battling now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in that particular situation, all that with 50 Cent was chess. That was chess, true chess, not checkers. And it had nothing to do with Irv and them. They were just casualties of the other scenario.
Yeah.
Well, 50 had a real like childhood beef with
Supreme. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I mean, we ain't even gotta see. That's the thing I'm learning. For the people who can keep up, right? When we're talking about stuff like this, for the people that can keep up, we shouldn't have to say names because these are major stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they should be able to keep up at this point.
Yeah.
I think basically
this too. So like you said, with that situation, you're going to hate not only that person, but whoever is with that person.
Right.
Or whoever just even shakes hands with that person.
So it became a rap battle. See, okay, let's go here. Mm-hmm. What do we respect more? See, we done had the rules laid out to us, but we don't realize we have the rules laid out to us. Man, we don't even respect rap beef. We don't respect WWF, and rap beef will spill out on the streets and possibly get people killed. That's why we try not to jump into that just on some WWF.
Right.
That's really the truth of it. And J. Cole kind of realized that, and everybody else mad. And it's kind of funny because it's like, come on, man. Y'all know the difference between like just battling. It's like, man,
that rap and the way people are responding, it makes me feel as if that's what y'all want.
But now you see
that is what they want.
But the pile on with Drake, you see that.
Right.
So now y'all got beef with Drake.
Right.
That's the other part of what's going on right now.
And that's thank you for bringing it up, because I don't understand why everybody all of a sudden has this beef with Drake.
Because Drake been holding it down for like 15 summers.
and they think that he's I don't know. I assume that they think that he's corny or he's just not a good guy.
Right.
You
know?
And then you got J. Cole.
His Canadian is showing.
Right. And then,
right.
You know, like, I mean, he's the same kid from Degrassi that was in Blackface.
Yeah.
And that was in blackface and banging heads with Soulja Boy.
And a lot of colorism too.
Right. I mean, if we get into the colorism, they was on top.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, you know, a lot of artists feel that he used them for street cred and then discarded them. But that's the business.
Right. Yeah. And did he really use
you know
street
what?
Cred?
It's basically like, to a lot of people's eyes, Drake is the ultimate culture vulture.
Yeah, but it's like, is he really though? Because if he really was on his last dollars, and he really was rapping in bathrooms, and like, I mean, if we gonna talk about hip hop and come up from a rappity rap standpoint, he kind of did most of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, but he don't have ghostwriters if the person got credit on the song.
Then there's that.
Yeah.
That's not a ghostwriter. Yeah. That's a paid employee.
But you got help for your pen.
That's a paid employee. I got money enough to employ motherfuckers in my community. What are you
doing? No, man, it's hip-hop. You ain't supposed to get no help with your
man, okay, hip-hop. So, hip-hop, you tell me, I'm not supposed to employ other brothers who good with a pen, and I know they can write, and I want to give them a Grammy and stuff, too. You telling me hip-hop is for the community, right? And we supposed to do for
No, it's about selfish. It's not self, and you're supposed to write your own verse.
Harley, I just want to say this is the exact same shit, and D-Nick knows this is the exact same shit that I've brought up so many times. It's fucking music. Like, it's producers, it's engineers, it's fucking, you know, writers and all this other stuff. Like, what makes hip-hop so different than every other genre? Like, it's multiple writers.
Okay, here's what makes hip-hop different. And I'm not saying, now, from a business standpoint, from a music standpoint, from a hip-hop is no different. See, we be talking about people that are ignorant to making music, because even a lot of the older hip-hop groups wrote together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got a lot of these people who sitting on the sidelines because they high school dropouts, because they insults, because they sitting in a basement with a bunch of other dudes that don't get no coaching. You know what I'm saying? And they're all sitting around, you know, sniffing aerosol all the damn time.
Right.
Real talk, fam. Like, you're not fully developed. You're drinking early. You're doing drugs early. Like, hip-hop ain't no straight edge. You got some straight edges in hip-hop. Shout out to D-Nick.
But, like me and D-Nick talked about, the straight edges are usually on some sex shit. So, like, if you really, really know, there is no separation in the debauchery in hip-hop.
Right.
And usually, if they don't smoke weed, they do coke.
Right.
Or pop pills, or something.
Have freak-offs and stuff.
Right.
they did it without the beating up.
Right. And which reminds me of this old Joe Budden episode from his podcast where they were talking about R&B singers, and Joe Budden said, and I don't know if anybody remember this, when Joe Budden said, like, you can't be the king of R&B if you never did no coke.
Yeah. Okay, we can say you ain't never been the king of R&B if you ain't took it up the butt. We can say you ain't king of R&B if you ain't never beat up no chick. I mean, we can get into a lot of
right.
Yeah, there's a lot of
right. Yeah. It's a lot of it. And but yeah, like, I've always brought up like
that's why Michael Jackson is the king of pop.
Right. Because, like, I always brought this up. That's why my like, even when the whole Drake, like, I guess if I shoot, like D-N-A say, if I shoot some of these people bail, it's like, when Drake had Quentin Miller for this one project, now they're saying that the songs that Quentin Miller helped write were like Drake's biggest hit. So I guess in a standpoint, if you're still in the rappity rap mentality, then it's like, okay, I get it.
Man, like, I get it.
I didn't say I didn't get it. I said I'm not gonna co-sign.
Yeah.
Right. No, I'm not saying that none of y'all get it. I'm gonna put that. I know y'all do. For me, it's like I'm sitting there like, okay, the rappity rap, like rap fan, you know, that I am, especially around that time that I am, it's like, okay, I get it. But also, you know, I'm like, yo, this shit is music. And it, you know, because me, I told D-Nick, one of my homegirls wrote this post on Facebook about how she said, I don't understand how singers and rappers get so much crap about having other writers. And I told D-Nick, I said, I responded to her, but I was like, I didn't know that it was the same for R&B. I just
Man, that's knew the same it from for all.
Yeah.
For it's all like, musicians.
And so this is what I told her. I told her, I said, the reason why I know about it in rap is because they sold an image of I write my own shit. You know what
okay.
I'm saying? I'm the one.
They do that.
The pen.
They do that in R&B too, though.
Right? No, they do that in all genres. Singer songwriter. Here's what I will say.
Yeah.
Okay. From that aspect, I am a snob, but I'm a snob within reason.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Because I am a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
I tend to lean towards singer-songwriter because right. I am a singer-songwriter. You understand? Mm-hmm. Or rapper, rhyme writer. You know, but people that D-Nick is talking about are people that can't even rap good. And then they try to say what other rappers are supposed to be doing.
Right.
And this is, and I'm a quote KRS-One with this, sell an image, never sell a record. Image is respected. Records come and go and get collected. Now, if you're taking that business model, because that's a business model, if you're taking that business model, then you put down anything that is less than you or anything that you don't do. You know,
right?
So it's like they've always done, like, okay, you can sing, but that person ain't a singer songwriter,
right?
Oh, you're amazing, but he don't write all his own rhymes, or she don't write his own rhymes,
right?
Unless the team is like, you know, we make these weird rules. They never say Biz Markie didn't write his rhyme. Sometimes Kane will slip and say that, but most of the time he doesn't, because Biz Markie will be like, yo, I want, he'll hum out the pattern, because he's a beatboxer. He'll hum out the patterns and like put some words right here. I don't feel like putting the words right here, so I want it to be this type of pattern. And then I want it to end with, hey ma, what's for dinner? Go up in your nose and pick a winner. Like, he'll write. And he'll do all that stuff.
But his writing was directed, because he had already did. Like,
exactly.
This is the part that everybody kind of missed about working as a collective, because Dre worked this way.
Exactly.
When, as a collective, we write this joint. But see, then he ends up with people like, say, a Kendrick or a Eminem, who can take that method and almost do it on their own.
Yeah,
you know,
that's one. And that's one aspect. You take someone like, I'll never forget when, like, I was watching the Dale the Funky Homo Sapien interview, and they basically tried to put him. You used to ghostwrite for Cube, and Dale was like, "Wait, hold up! I didn't have a demo. I didn't have nothing. I had nothing on my resume. So when I wrote the last verse for Gangsta's Fairy Tale, and I wrote a song for Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo can write her own stuff. Cube don't need me to write nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But they had to do something. I had to do something to boost up my resume.
Remember what I just said?
as a collective, hip hop is a collective thing, right?
Exactly.
So when cats like them dudes get to talking, this is what I be explaining. I've been places they ain't. I done had stuff they haven't.
Now I'll add to this with the because I agree. I'm in a group. I know that there's a collective thing. There's a lot of people, and this is where the point of reference comes in. There's a lot of people that don't come from that aspect, and that isn't even secluded to just rapping. That's even in dance, because you know you'll see there's not as many b-boy crews. With like how many 2-on-2 battles, and like you got to go overseas to see that. When you be in the States, man, it's rare that you see 2-on-2s and 3-on-3s. Everybody is just one verse. I've even seen that influence bleed into the footwork, to the Chicago footwork and the Detroit JIT market.
But see, in the footwork market, it's always been there. See, with footworking, because of its very nature, was more freestyle. And House of Maddox was pre-footwork. This is what everybody count. House of Maddox, U5U, all that stuff, we was all dancing. We all dancing from the 80s. And survived all the way to the 2000s. But by the time you got to the 2000s, you were moving more in the real authentic footwork.
Right.
With hardly any upper body work, you know, to get back 40, the low down 40, all that stuff, the 40 stuff. And the 35th Street stuff and the low, all the low end stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when that blended in, it caused a shift in the way that people battled. Because before then, you had crew battles. That's why House of Maddox and you and stuff like U5U existed, because you had crews battling other crews, and it would always be 4 or 5 people out on the floor at one point doing the same thing at the same time, and then we would, then we would bust out into the solo.
So I want to say this real quick, just kind of go back to the top, you know, what we were talking about, but I told Dinik this too. The reason why I felt like, and I'm gonna like verbatim, the reason why I didn't think R&B, to me in my mind, that R&B didn't seem to get that much like with hip hop, was because to me, I was just like, well, I think it's a known fact that you do, like you said, you got singer songwriters and you got ones who just, you know, are great voices. They may not write songs or anything like that. They're just great voices. And so, you know, and then you start learning, like you start, you know, and I was like learning about Motown and all this other stuff growing up, just learning about, I think in my mind, I was just like, oh, okay, well, yeah, Stevie Wonder does his own shit. Aretha Franklin does little stuff here and there, but she's got help.
She right? has had and, she's had help from a band standpoint, but Aretha Franklin was a singer songwriter. That's the reason why. Like she will write with other people. Like Lauryn Hill has helped her write stuff.
You're right. Definitely.
But she's like a Dolly Parton. She's known for writing her own stuff.
Right. Or like a Whitney Houston
because the Whitney didn't write as much.
Right. And like the Temptations, Four Tops, all that stuff. Like to me in my mind, I was just like, I think in my mind, I said, I thought it just was more accepted in that space than it was with hip-hop.
But check it, because of what we're talking about with Motown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about battling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Motown, they had the battle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're going to talk about this, man, they was battling for a reason. And it's like,
and it wasn't a hater thing. It's a we only got this, and y'all got a who got the best song,
right?
And we gonna run with who got the best song. So y'all got to come in here and battle it out,
right?
And who's singing the best?
Correct.
Cause I got like I got, you know, Mel L like got a whole crazy ill collection of everybody on Motown singing like songs that we know to be with the Temptations, but it's like
but you got everybody on there singing it.
Yeah, you got their versions, you got the other versions because they get because the who was good Kill about Mill, that?
I want to see this collection. I gotta hear this.
You know, you know who had a lot of songs that didn't before they actually released some songs was Diana Ross group.
Yeah, the Supremes.
They had a whole bunch of stuff they had sung that didn't get released.
And the Temptations, man, all of them joints was the Miracles. Man, they had all those joints. Yeah. They even had Smokey in the group, but they just didn't sing it better than the Temptations. So it was like
right. And plus Smokey wrote majority of it, so it's like, I can see this is gonna be some Miracle stuff, but then it's just like they sing, it's like, oh, it's cool.
Man,
Temptations ain't like, oh no.
Can you imagine? So can we say that was from a hater standpoint? See, like we got rude. See, yeah, Nick, they might not be rules. But yeah, Nick, it is rules to this.
You know what? Now, hear me out on this one.
Inside joke.
Hear me out on this one. There could be some hater stuff in that, in the sense of, so I sing My Girl. I'm a solo act. I sing My Girl, and I think I killed it. And then the Temptations singing, you just like, because I'm thinking this record is going to be mine, and the Temptations singing, and it's just, I'm like, well, fuck. Like, so every time I sing some, y'all going to give it to these, and like, you know, there could be some hater issue, but I also agree with you, like, it could not be, because again, it's just like, who sings this song better? And is this song from them going to be a hit for us? As like I sing it, it might not be as big as it was with the Temptations.
And that's the funny thing. I wonder how many times did somebody stand up and say, you know what? Yeah, y'all might have won, but we still gonna record this song.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, uh-huh. We're gonna both put it out. And we gonna see. Let's, cause this Motown, we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and there's another thing too. If you're talking about the so-called big three or formerly, because one dropped out and they done kicked him out of the big three.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's always like if again, Karis One sell an image, never sell a record, and these dudes are selling the image. So and then what I've learned in my travels, people get jealous of the image that you, even if they're a bigger act, they get jealous of the image.
I mean, bro, I'm gonna go here. They get jealous of the God complex.
Yeah. Let me explain that.
Man, at a certain point, all these cats get to calling themselves some kind of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just
Kanye's a king or God.
And then they get jealous of the poor righteous teacher,
right? But are they really jealous of the poor righteous teacher? Because all the poor righteous teachers are fake.
Well, I'm just saying the image of that.
I mean, but there is no image of that in modern media.
Well, if Drake is a pop star.
Drake isn't a pop star. Drake is an international star. They confuse him for a pop star. He's an international hip hop artist.
But Drake has a God complex.
Right. That's why he calls himself the Six God, because he's an international artist.
Uh-huh.
And then well the way it's marketed, okay, that could be splitting hairs, but the way it's marketed is Drake is a pop star. And then,
but I mean, that's
well, wait.
Yeah, but he's a pop star by American standards.
Right. Okay. The only people that push that image though is really anti-Drake. Because most of the time he's just known as Drake the hip hop, you know, artist.
Right.
They don't really talk about him as Drake the pop artist. Like, we only hear that from the trackers, bro.
Like, but that's on the big top 40 stations, and
but I'm talking, but he basically occupying the same space that Jay-Z was. So it's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he another pop artist, but that's either here or there. If he's promoted or it looked on in many circles as that, and Kendrick is looked upon as like health by some people, the very last. Like conscious,
nah, bro. Artists. All of them dudes. If we gonna keep it 100,
pop stars. I agree.
Okay, if we
let's not keep it 100 yet. Let's like if you look at Kendrick and how he's.
The definition of pop is popular. So all of them are popular. Else you wouldn't be having a conversation.
Let's not keep it 100 yet. So, you know, I'm just talking like superficially and fakely of how they're projected. You know, Drake is the pop star. Kendrick is the real rapper. And then J. Cole is the, you know, earthy, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's not how their media.
That may not be true. That may not be true. But they got a group of fans that believe that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Even though
that group of fans believe that narrative, this is the thing about the internet, right? It changed everything. And this is the question you have to ask all the time. Mm-hmm. Why are you giving me this information? Why does it benefit you? Why does this narrative, why are you using this particular narrative slant in presenting the media to church?
Because that's who's fighting. That's who's bickering, who's beefing, that's who's spending money.
No, hold on, listen. We're not talking about none of that. We're talking about the psychology of this. Because the psychology of this is all that matters. So when they spin these situations, bro, I don't care about these puppets being manipulated by the narratives.
I'm not saying you do.
We can't even give them credence, bro, because they don't. These people who are running these narratives online, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have these big followings that y'all think they have. They be in these little echo chambers on the side of the internet because when you watch the major media, man, pay attention to the people who get on Joe Rogan. You understand what I'm saying? If they in our media and they don't end up on Joe Rogan, then you know the mainstream media not paying attention to them.
Absolutely.
So whatever they talking about don't really mean nothing. It might mean over in the
corner. Because if you keep it at 100. Most of these people ain't keeping it. Like, this is where we always split hairs, obviously, because I agree with you.
We know Cat Williams. Everybody thinks Cat Williams keep it 100, right?
No, well, if we're not keeping it 100, the ones that don't keep it 100 think he's keeping it 100.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So, but if we going to go with the narrative,
mm-hmm.
Cat Williams is keeping it 100, and he's the reason 2024 is the reason for exposing everything, right?
That's how it's marketed. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's the narrative that people have picked up on because
they use that narrative to market it.
Listen, in order to be leeches and create their own media platforms to get money,
absolutely.
Let's start telling what the truth is. Because see, that's the real truth. So these narratives don't exist. These narratives were manufactured in order for people to make money.
Yeah.
So
that's the narrative.
Most of the people out here is not listening to these narratives. Bro, we gotta understand. I understand how close I am inside the industry.
Same.
So I don't speak from being industry. I speak from being in the streets.
and talking to normal everyday people. They still stuck on Kevin Samuels. And that man been dead how long?
About what? Like 2-3 years or something?
And the normal everyday Negroes is still stuck on Kevin Samuels.
Man, right. Being around that, you're right. That's true. They are stuck on Kevin Samuels. And also, man, being around everyday people. Like, and being close to the industry, I know it's all fake and I don't believe the hype.
Nah, but you're also close to a lot of artistic people and people that are in the arts. I'm not around people like that.
And I'm around them.
And I purposely don't be around people like that.
And I'll be around them. And they get mostly them.
The people that's in education. What I'm saying, people in education, all these people that be in bubble world.
It's a lot of bubbles, man.
And it's a lot of bubble worlds. But there's only one real world. And a lot of these people don't be in the real world because they be in a bubble world. That's the truth. Because their position of whatever they're doing as a profession affords them to be in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not out here amongst the real people or what's really going on. They don't have to worry about a job. The bubble people don't get up worrying about will they have a job tomorrow. And that bubble in particular affords them a wide berth of not knowing shit. And only getting their information passed on to them from other people in other bubbles. They rarely get to see what you say about who's the wizard and what is he doing. You understand? They don't get to see that, bro. They don't never get to see that because they're not the lion, they're not the scarecrow, Dorothy, man, they ain't even Toto,
right? Right,
they ain't on no yellow brick road at all trying to get home. These be wayward souls, bro. And then they try to pass it off like they actually know what's going on in the real world. And it's like, nah. You talking fantasy talk. People like J. Cole know that if they get to doing too much of this playing around, dissing each other, it could spill out in the streets into something for real.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's true. And, you know, just to wrap everything up, it's like, I think people... It's like we already know how this can play out. And again, that's why I said I commend J. Cole for just being like, yo, I'm not going to be a part of that. I was sucked into it. I had people in my ear. I did it. If you listen to what the song was, you could tell it was on some half-ass shit.
Right.
And because he knew it was half-ass, it was bothering him. Like, I can only take, and I know the industry is, you know, it's a lot of fake shit in the industry, but I have to take somebody at their word that says, yo, this was bothering me so much that you went in the crowd at your own festival to say how it made you feel.
Right.
And on top of that, to be like, I want the song off of the album, I want that song off, and what I'm not saying we did it, but what they did was just like, man, fuck all that shit, man. We want that. They'll tell you within the conversation that they don't want this to spill out. They just want this shit on records, but the reality is, you want all of it because it can happen. It happens. Right.
And that's why I would commend him, because a lot of the consumers are stupid, you know what I'm saying? And they don't know that it can. And then he just, like, you know, how dope is that to be able to just denounce the battle, you know, in on his own festival? Like,
that's right. See, that's the thing. Everybody kind of because Kendrick didn't name no names, right?
Right. Man, he didn't name their names, but you knew who he was talking
about. Man, this ain't that. That's right. The one thing cats got to understand, too. All this alluding to stuff, man, until you say a man's name, it don't mean nothing. So really, J. Cole fired first. And that's right. Why he took you back. And right. A lot of people really don't understand that. Like, and even with Drake, did Drake name any names in Push Up?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. And did they diss him first or did he diss them first?
They dissed him first.
So, see, here's where everything gets crazy. So is it okay to diss Drake because y'all think Drake won't spill out into the streets?
Yeah, because he's a Canadian queef. That's what.
Yeah, but yeah,
but that's but, even more subject to spill out into the streets.
I agree,
because he got people that ride with him. Just real street people,
right? Yeah.
There's not exactly like we don't need credit because of him. We just us,
right? Yeah. But yo, man, on that note, man, I do want to thank my brothers Harley and D-Nick for always coming through for the late sessions, man. This was a super dope conversation. Conversation that needs to have, that needs to be had, because ain't nobody else doing it. So,
and I don't think they realize all bullshit to the back is more effect than reality. Because
right.
Because me and D-Nick agree on a lot of stuff. It's just, but somebody gotta be the devil, because if we all just saying the same shit, then it's not an interesting show, is it?
Right, right. Nah, that's true, man. And again, for our listeners, thank y'all for not only listening to the Dope Sessions, thank y'all for listening to the Late Sessions. I love my brothers. I love y'all, man. We out of here, y'all.
Peace.
Peace.